Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Tamar Yonos Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. Boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today. It is going to be all about the Messianic era, the Messiah. What is the world going to look like after the Messiah comes? Is there truly going to be peace? Is there going to be everlasting life, or will people still die? What will people do with their time? We're going to be asking all sorts of questions to our guest, who is Rabbi Mendel Kessen. He's been on the show a few times before, and I know he's extremely popular to people who are interested in the Geula or the redemption, the Messianic era. So I know you're going to want to have some questions, and you can write your questions in and I will read them out time bearing on the show. Just join us in our chat room. Go to israelnewstalkradio.com. It is the orange button at the top of the page. And if you're listening from our player, then just click the orange button that's on the orange bar going across that little player, and it'll take you right into our chat room. So I'm really looking forward to the show today, because I have lots of questions I want to ask for you, for me, for everyone, to clear things up, because there's so many different, as we say in Hebrew, gishot, so many different ways of approaching this, and there are different opinions. So if you have questions, I know I do, then join us in the chat room. Again, it's the orange button on our website. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening in from all over the world, all over the United States, Israel, the United Kingdom, Canada, the Netherlands, France, and, oh, look at this, Zimbabwe. So shalom to you in Africa as well. It's great to see you all here on the show. And again, go to the chat room where you can send in your questions for Rabbi Kessen so I can ask them for you, time permitting, and if we, and we'll try to answer those as well. I have a lot of questions also about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. How are they going to manifest themselves and come back and join the Jewish people, come back to Israel? What about that? Also, what about the Third Temple? That's like another 10,000 shows by itself. There's so many different topics to ask. So again, we are live. You can call. You can write your questions in if it's you're listening on Monday, 8 p.m. Israel time, 1 p.m. U.S. Eastern time. That means that we are live, and you can join us in the chat room. You're listening to the Tamar Yonos Show. We'll be right back.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this, and it's happening now? I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
To the Tamar Yonos Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. So we're talking about the Messianic era. Who will the Messiah be? What will the world be like in the Messianic era? Well, we have as our guest this evening Rabbi Mendel Kessen. He is an internationally known lecturer and educator that has spoken extensively throughout the world on Jewish thought, the Messianic process, and a wide expanse of other Jewish topics. He received his smicha, or his rabbinical ordination, by the most respected Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Mendel has a PhD, I should call him actually Dr. Rabbi Mendel Kessen, has a PhD in psychology and runs a private practice in Brooklyn and Lakewood. He divides his time between Jerusalem, the holy city, and the tri-state area in the United States. He's here to talk to us tonight, again, as I said, about what the world will be like after the Mashiach comes. So welcome to the show, Rabbi Mendel Kessen.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I just want to remind everybody during the show that you can look at his website. It's called TorahThinking.com. All right, so let's start here, Rabbi. The Messiah has come. He's revealed himself to the world. And what happens after that? What will he do? Are we going to see him coming in on a donkey?
Well, not really. That's a metaphor. But before I begin, what I'm about to talk about is a very extensive topic. A lot of it is dealt with on my website, TorahThinking.com, and also all of this is on YouTube. So if anybody wants to take a look at the entire series, there are, 30, 40 of them, of lectures, but you're, of course, all welcome. The concept of Mashiach is really, in many ways, a huge topic. Unfortunately, most people have very superficial understanding of what will be. So I'm going to try to cover some of the topics at a certain level of depth. So I hope everybody can bear with me. The first thing is, as I mentioned the previous show, that one of the major ideas that we are entering a messianic period, as I had mentioned, is the election of Donald Trump. And the reason for that, I had mentioned then, is because Edom, who was Esav, who was in many ways the USA, has to repent, and I believe that's exactly what's happening. They have to become a whole different kind of country, and especially supportive of the state of Israel. Now, when we talk about Mashiach, we have to understand several introductory comments. One, there are two Mashiachim, there are two Messiahs, which is not commonly known. The first Mashiach is called the Messiah, the son of Joseph, right. Mashiach ben Yosef. And the second Messiah is called the Mashiach ben David, the Davidic Messiah. So you're really talking about two different Messiahs. What you can ask yourself is then, why there are, but more important, what does each one do? So the first Messiah, which is Messiah, the son of Joseph, or Mashiach ben Yosef, what he does is that he is in charge of Tahara, purifying. What he basically does is he takes on or confronts the evil of the world, and he subdues it. He's victorious, and he subdues that evil, and he, in many ways, becomes in charge of a different type of world. That is his fundamental job called Tahara, which, of course, means to purify or to change the fabric of the world from the evil to good. The second Mashiach is Mashiach ben David, the Davidic Messiah. His job is to usher in an entire different kingdom, so to speak, or perception of mankind. The one who initiates that perception is the Messiah, Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah, son of Joseph. And the one who carries that on into an actual kingdom, the entire world actually, is the Mashiach ben David. So we have two concepts here. One is to remove evil, and the second concept is to allow good or holiness to enter. So that's the first thing we have to understand. The second thing we have to understand is the time limit. The Talmud says that the world will last 6,000 years. It's stated several times in the Talmud. Why is that? Because the world was created, or the entire creation actually was created, in 6 days. Each day is equivalent to 1,000 years. As it says in Tehillim, Psalms by Dovid HaMelech, that one day in your eyes is as if it was 1,000 years in us. Therefore, according to the Talmud, the world will last only 6,000 years, which is the equivalent of 6 days. Therefore, when will it end? So the Talmud says that it will end at the end of the year 6,000 on the Hebrew calendar. The year 6,000 is the English equivalent of 2240. 2240 is 2,240 years, which is approximately now about, let's say, 223 years to go. That's it. And that's the end of the physical universe. Now, the Mashiach is a person that has to come before and ended his reign in the year 2240. So therefore, the world comes to an end, 2240, and changes drastically into a different dimension or reality. And and what the Mashiach does, he comes before, and as I said, he ends his reign. So therefore, the maximum amount of time that Mashiach can reign himself is only about 223 years. However, this is the time limit of the Mashiach. So how far are we away? We're very, very close, actually, for the entire concept of the Messianic era. And the Messianic era really is a utopia. God wanted that the end of the world should reflect a different type of world than we are used to. And in that sense, the Mashiach will usher in that type of world. So these are very important introductory comments which a person has to know. Now, the second idea is, what does the Mashiach do? And we have all different kinds of concepts, you know, the world will dwell with the lion will dwell with the lamb, and so on. There will be peace, there will be no more death. But that's not the essential task of the Mashiach. The essential task of the Mashiach is different. And because of that, I will say something very surprising. The Mashiach is the most dangerous person who ever lived. It's a rather remarkable statement. Why is that? Because of what he will reveal. What does that mean? There is a verse that says, it's in Isaiah, Yeshayahu, 52, at the end, I think it's, Pasuk 8, whatever. It says in Hebrew, Hini Yaskel Avdi, behold, my servant will grow wise. And the Targum over there says that my servant refers to Malka Mashiach, the Mashiach himself, which is Mashiach ben Yosef, the Joseph Messiah. And it says three expressions of growth, which is very important to know for this man. First statement, it says, the Yoram, and he will grow, he will rise, the Nisa, and he will rise exceedingly, the Gover Mi'oid, and he will rise in many ways exaltedly. The question is, why would it say that he will rise? What does that mean, that the Mashiach himself has to rise? What it means, and this is what there's a Medrash that says this, that the first expression that says, the Yoram, and he will grow, that means that he will grow to be greater than Avraham Avinu, greater than Abraham. That is the first growth. Could you imagine what that is? The second way it says, the Nisa, and he will then grow, he will rise even more. That means that he will become greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, which is astounding. And the third concept, which is Vegova Mioit, and he will rise exceedingly, or become great exceedingly. So the Medrash says that he will become greater than the angels. Could you imagine a person of that stature who is human, who is a man of that stature, walking in this world? Imagine a man like that. How would you feel walking in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu? It would be incredible. I mean, here's a person who was half man, half God, so to speak. He spoke to God, the Rosh, for 40 years, the greatest prophet who ever lived. And here's a man who is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, we begin to get an inkling of the personage, how great this man truly is. Now, the question then is, what makes him so great? What is it that he does that he reveals that makes him such so incredibly great? Well, what we begin to understand is the following, is that when he comes, he will raise the consciousness of man into a completely different reality. What is the consciousness of man that he removes? And actually, if you think about it, what is the disease of mankind that causes so much suffering and wars and suffering and so much evil? And the answer is that the fundamental disease of mankind is ignorance, because man only knows a reality called the physical world. He does not know of any other reality. And what reality does he know of? It's interesting. What he does know is what he knows. Man is in one of four states, whether you know it or not. Every person, subconsciously, unconsciously, or even consciously, man thinks that he is God. And of course, the classic illustration of that is Paro, or Pharaoh of Egypt. He thought he was a god.
Rabbi, let me hold you right there with that thought, because we have to go to a break. And after you finish that thought, I want to ask you about, who will the Messiah be, who won't he be, and will everybody accept him? That's one of the things I want to No, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. So everybody hang on. We're going to be back after the news and the break, and then we will be answering more questions. We'll be hearing more about this amazing topic with Rabbi Mendel Kessen from www.torahthinking.com. You can go visit his website during the break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. We are talking about the Messianic era. Who will be the Mashiach? Will the world be peaceful afterwards? What is the world going to look like? And so many more questions. We are speaking with our guest, Rabbi Mendel Kessen. He is from TorahThinking.com. You can also check out his YouTube channel where he has so many of his videos that are just fascinating, people listening all the time to him on via YouTube and also now during the show here. So, Rabbi, before we finish the last segment, you wanted to complete your thought. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm talking about what the Mashiach, the Messiah, will do, which is critical. Once you understand what he does, then everything flows logically about the consequences of what he does. I mentioned that man is always involved, whether consciously or unconsciously, in the following thoughts. Some people think that they are God, like a pharaoh. Some people want to become God, okay, like Adam HaRishon, the first man. When he was tempted, he thought, V'yichin Kelokim, as the snake said to him, that you can become God. Other people are involved in overthrowing God, like the generation of the flood. And then there are other people who want to manipulate and limit God, because they really want to be independent, so they resort to all types of subterfuges in order to manipulate God. And that's really classically the Amalekites, Amalek, without going into the whole concepts. Therefore, fundamentally, the Mashiach removes the ignorance of self, the delusion of self, and he introduces the reality of God, the presence of God. He discloses that. And therefore, as a result of that, we will now live in an environment or a time, a reality, where the presence of God is manifest completely. And that is why there is no wars, there's no suffering, there's no disease. And of course, in that climate, there is no evil. And the Satan, who is, the, of course, the instigator of all evil and temptation, he himself is destroyed. Therefore, all those things follow with the revelation of what the Mashiach does. And this is called the Messianic Light, or Or Rishon, or the First Light. And this is alluded to in different places in the Torah. That is the fundamental mission of the Messiah, to change the reality perception.
Okay, let me jump in here if I can. You're talking about perception. We know that the Muslims are expecting their Mahdi, and that the Christians are expecting their JC, and the Jewish people are expecting the Messiah. So will the world, when the Messiah comes and he proclaims himself as the Messiah, and will the world acknowledge it? Will they accept him?
Well, first of all, there's one very important idea that if you look in the Torah by Joseph, it says there, "V'chol asher osa hitzliach Hashem b'yodoi." Everything that Joseph did, God made successful. That is the greatest sign of who the Messiah is, because the man cannot fail, and he never does. That's a very important idea, because that's how we finally know who the Mashiach is. He will never fail, you see. Now, therefore, as a result of that, the revelation that the Mashiach does, which I've mentioned, will encompass the entire globe. And as a result of that, everybody will have to reevaluate their own belief system vis-a-vis the reality that now they now experience. And as it says, Vahoya-based philosophy, and my house will be a prayer for all nations. That means each nation will realize the terrible error of their belief system and will come to recognize that there is only one belief system, and that is God, his reign, his supremacy, and that the Jewish people, they have brought that recognition throughout the entire world, and that will stun the world. And it's going to take them quite a time to get over that revelation.
So I'm just asking here. So there aren't going to be naysayers saying that he's a false messiah. This is really the Antichrist, as a lot of the Christians believe, etc.
No, they cannot be, for a simple reason. You'll notice that most religions. Let me put it this way: the only religion that where you can clearly see that their claim has to be true, or else it would be impossible for anybody to make that claim, is where the Torah says that God is speaking at Sinai, that you have all seen me, and you have seen who I am, and so on. Now, that claim made every Jew, and there were only over 2 million Jews that left Egypt, that claim made every Jew an eyewitness to the event. No religion has ever made that claim. The claim of any religion is there's one person that says that I spoke or witnessed God, and therefore you need to believe me. So therefore, they've never demonstrated that the fact that they've spoken to God. But Jews have demonstrated in many ways. And there are many non-Jews that recognize this. The fact that Jews exist after 4,000 years, the Jews are the only nation of antiquity. So that itself begins to disturb people. How is it possible that all ancient nations are gone, whereas the Jews survive? Not only do they survive, but their language has been resurrected after 2,000 years. Not only that, but the Jews are only less than 0.25% of the world's population, yet the Jews have won more than 1/3 of all Nobel Prizes. Obviously, there's something happening here. So the Messiah is a person that cannot fail because he is the Messiah, and he will demonstrate visibly, exactly, the presence of God. And that's why everybody recognizes it. Where everybody else, for instance, Yeshu in Christianity, right, what did he demonstrate? He said he was coming, the second coming. He's never come back. You see, what has he demonstrated and so on? There's only 4 people that say they saw him, that the grave was empty. Is this proof that this man was a Messiah or whatever they claim he is? You see, so all religions have a fundamental flaw in their transmission and the original event. It's only Judaism that has a tremendous transmission process and also an incredible statement of the origin of that religion.
Okay. So, Rabbi, let me ask you this, and I'm going to try to ask you to make your answers as short as possible because we don't have a lot of time. So it talks about in the end of days that we're going to see the resurrection of the dead, the dry bones, etc. Are we seeing this dry bones coming back to life today through not really dead bodies coming up, but perhaps roads and highways here in the land of Israel that form arteries connecting life, you know, of cities to other cities, and the Jewish bodies basically manifested itself as and in the land of Israel? Or are we actually going to be seeing people rising from their graves and flesh growing in on bones, et cetera, et cetera? How do you see this happening?
Okay, two thoughts. One, the essential thing that God wants to do in the end, he needs to unite the world. One of the greatest inventions ever known, and the purpose of it is really messianic, is called the Internet. Because the Internet is the only way there could be global connectivity. That's why you really have an Internet. That's the first idea. The second great, incredible invention is a concept called wireless. So anybody can access the Internet without even being plugged into the wall, you see. And this is going to create what's called global connectivity. Airplanes or roads, as you say, and bridges, this is nothing more than to give man the ability to communicate and to travel much faster to be able to go to places of enormous holiness. So in that sense, you can look at it as a resurrection of mankind from a separate communities into a global community. That's really the reason for all these phenomena. But the real phenomenon of resurrection of the dead only occurs after the Messiah of David, the Davidic Messiah, comes. And then there will be a real resurrection of the dead. We're talking about bodies getting up. In fact, the Talmud says that there's a bone in the body that can never be destroyed. And we now know that you can resurrect the entire body from somebody's DNA. All you have to do is learn how a DNA can specialize and specify different organs. So all you need is really one cell with its DNA, and if you know how to coax that cell into growing, it can actually create an entire human body.
Okay, but if they should do something like that, it won't have the same memories, the same being brought up. It'll be this fresh, adult? Does it grow into adult? Does it start from a baby? How does all that work? Really, really briefly.
Well, the way it works is that everybody will get up the way they died. And if you died blind, you get up blind. And if you died sick, whatever, then you get up sick. However, within a very short amount of time, let's say within 2 hours, the body changes back into its age when it was 22 years old, you see. Of course, this is all miraculous, obviously. So the process of resurrection itself is a miracle beyond comprehension. And the reversal of the age into its former self when it was 22 years old is the second stage. So eventually everybody's walking around with their body at the age when they were 22 years old.
And the same soul goes back into that body?
Say that again?
The same soul goes back into that body? I mean, if we are reincarnated, we may have had many different bodies. Which body does the soul go back into?
Well, the soul goes back into the body before the resurrection. But your question, which one? Because we are really reincarnations many, many times. Somebody could have come back at least 30, 40, 50 times in order to do what's called his tikkun, his rectification. In other words, that's a tremendous mercy that God has granted people, because every person has a mission to do. They have to be involved in some way, especially the Jews, in rectifying creation, which means to bring God back. If they don't do it in one lifetime, they have to come back in another, and another, and another, and so on. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they're obviously... We are really all recycled souls. But the question is, which lifetime did a person do the greatest tikkun, rectification? That is the body that gets up.
Interesting. All right, so hold it right there. We're going to be going for a break. I'm going to be asking the rabbi when we get back, what about the lost 10 tribes of Israel? And how will the world be? Are we going to have just goodness and there'll be no more evil anymore? And what are we going to be doing with our time? Do we live forever or do we die? Are we going to all become vegetarians when the lion lies down with the lamb, etc.? So many questions. It's our last segment. If you have any questions, join us in the chat room. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we are speaking with Rabbi Mendel Kessen. He is from TorahThinking.com. He also has a YouTube channel you're going to want to check out and listen to his shiurim, his lessons. And we are talking about the Messianic era. What is the world going to look like? And I have a whole slew of questions. I just don't have enough time. So we're going to try to go through these very, very quickly with the good rabbi and try to get them answered. So welcome back to the show, Rabbi Mendel Kessen.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so let's go to the first question I have. What are people going to be doing? The Messiah comes, all the wars have been fought, people realize and learn more about God, godliness in the world. They're not going to want to fight anymore because they're going to realize that there's no sense to this, that we're all connected, we're all one, the one God, etc. What are we going to be doing with our time? Do we die? Do we live forever?
You've asked several questions in one statement. what will happen then is You see, right now, physicality and materialism dominates. And that is the major pursuit of man, mankind, I should say, is to obviously, you know, gather as much wealth as he can and to have as much security as he can and to be as healthy. In the era of Mashiach ben David, and that's really where things change. You see, the era of Mashiach ben Joseph, the Joseph Messiah, the world remains exactly the way it is, except there begins an introduction of incredible consciousness. But in the era of Mashiach ben David, the world changes. Nature changes in many ways. Obviously, if the wolf and the lamb will dwell together, we're no longer the lion and the lamb will dwell together. Nature has changed. Therefore, the world will now no longer be preoccupied with the physical or the material. It will be preoccupied with knowing God. That's essentially what everybody will do. And the Jews at that time will be the major agent to bring God into the world. In fact, every Jew at that time will be an incredible prophet. And people will go to the Jews for their prophecy, and the Jews will be able to project or radiate the presence of God onto people. And in that type of a environment, who wants to work? In fact, in the time of Mashiach ben David, there's basically no work. In other words, it's like the manna from heaven that happened when the Jews were in the desert and so on. People will be preoccupied that time with pursuing the knowledge of God. There will be no more evil, although people will know what evil is, and there will be no evil because in the presence of God, how could there possibly be evil? Just an interesting comment. This is the Messianic era of the Davidic time. In the future world, which is after 2240, basically, then what God does is he removes the entire concept of evil from the mind. So you cannot even think of evil anymore because the concept doesn't exist. That's the radical difference between the future world and the Messianic era. But it will be an era, like I say, where the major preoccupation of mankind will be the pursuit of God. And the Jews will occupy the major teaching role and leadership role in that pursuit.
Okay, so how will people live? Will people still get married? Will they still have children? Will they die?
Well, with the resurrection of the dead, the dead, there is no more death. What Mashiach ben David does is he actually annihilates the Satan. And the Satan, the satanic figure, is the major idea or reason behind evil. So therefore, if that figure is annihilated, all death is annihilated. Because if you think about it, death is nothing more than the ultimate decomposition of the physical form. So therefore, everything, all forms now maintain themselves for the rest of the 223 years that have to happen. The scientific manifestation of the Sutton, of which is decomposition, is the law of entropy, that energy always dissipates, and that is decomposition.
All so people won't die.
But with the removal of the Sutton, that law ceases. And therefore, everything that is alive at that point, whatever level of existence you are, remains the same. And on the contrary, people begin to grow incredibly because of the environment of enormous divine presence.
Yes or no? Do people still get married and have children?
There is no more kids because, as the Talmud says, that there's a place called, it's interesting, it's called Guf, and that when all the souls of that place, all the souls that have to be born, will be born by the time the Messiah, Ben David, arrives, and therefore there are no more souls, and therefore there'll be no more kids.
Well, and there'll be no more deaths, so what do we do with eternity? I mean, that's an awful long time, ever, forever and ever and ever?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I can tell you, in terms of what the future world will be, but I'll need a couple of minutes. What we do with eternity is very interesting. But right now we cannot realize what that means. Because, let me put it this way, eternity is about getting closer and closer to God. That's all it is. But that is everything. And what happens is that as you get closer and closer to God, then it's not a matter of experiencing a being. You experience your own existence because God, in the end, at least at a certain level of thinking or depth, is existence per se. God doesn't have existence. He is existence. So what happens is everything within us, God exists, Because in order for us to exist, we need the phenomenon called existence, and that is God. So what happens is a person begins to become conscious of his own existence, and the existence itself increases, which is something which is unheard of, because existence either is or isn't. There's no such thing as a gradation of existence. But in the future world, there is, because you begin to experience that the growth or the change of existence itself, and we have no comprehension of what that means. What it does mean is infinite bliss eternally.
Will we still, if we don't die, will we still be eating? Will we get sick? If we do eat, will we be vegetarians because the lion and the lamb are sitting together?
Well, that's a series of questions you just asked. But like I said, the time period of Mashiach ben Yosef, the Joseph Messiah, is what we have now, except there's an enormous war, but it's not a war of military. It is a tremendous a presentation of a spiritual dimension. In the Davidic Messiah, the world changes to reflect a completely different presence of God, a completely different reality. So in certain ways, it is difficult to know what will happen. You know, I would imagine that, remember, the essential feature of the Davidic time period that there is absolutely no evil or decomposition whatsoever. And the second thing is that there's an incredible presence of God that permeates the entire creation. It's not easy to know if that means, you know, what will happen to the actual lifestyle and so on, because we don't know what that type of revelation is and what does it mean to live in the presence of God. The presence of God will be as obvious as the sun is on a brilliant sunny day. So it's very hard to know what the lifestyle of that is. We can only know in a general term that this will take place. Hmm. The removal or the annihilation of anything evil and decomposition. And the second thing is the absolute supremacy and transcendence of spirituality over the entire universe. That we do know.
How far is it between the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David?
Not far. Mashiach ben Yosef probably does his job. It's hard to say, but when he does come, when he finally comes, and the Messianic era has different stages, but there's one stage called the Afchalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption, and that's when the Messiah, the son of Joseph, knows that he's the Messiah. I assume that the Mashiach ben Yosef is alive today. The Joseph Messiah. The question, does he know who he is or doesn't he? Because you'll find that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the beginning of Mashiach ben Yosef, if that's who he really was, almost, if the Jews had not sinned, then he would have been the Joseph Messiah. He didn't know for 80 years that he was the Messiah. So that's the problem. When the Messiah is born, then you have the beginning of the redemption. And when he knows, then there's an incredible beginning of growth where he grows. And that could take the whole Tkufa, which means the whole era of Messiah, the son of Joseph, can take 5-10 years.
Very quickly, in 30 seconds, the lost 10 tribes of Israel, go.
The lost 10 tribes of Israel will come back. That's what will happen. It's not clear if they are now existing in an independent place or they have really been assimilated among the nations, and you find many, many different peoples who claim to be Jewish that probably are Jewish in terms of their ancestors. So it's very likely that the lost tribes are a lot of different, different segments claim to be, and they probably are Jewish because they observe Jewish customs even though they are non-Jews. So I would imagine that the 10 tribes have been assimilated, and they will know who they are, of course, once the messianic process begins.
All right, and just a very 10-second answer. The people who are alive today, if we merit in our lifetime to see the Mashiach come, are we going to be alive? Will the time between the two messiahs be in our lifetime, or are we talking about much longer?
I believe that people who are alive today will see the Messiah. That's how close we are.
This is fascinating stuff. Rabbi, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish we had longer, but I'm going to encourage everybody to check out your videos on YouTube and to go to your website where they can hear more of your talks at TorahThinking.com. Rabbi Mendel Kessen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Do you want to say one last word, 10 seconds?
Yes. Things are going to happen with such incredible speed that it's going to make your head spin, because we are literally accelerating. The process is literally accelerating. Mm. And therefore, what you need to be thinking about is how I can make spirituality my priority and not physicality. That's what you need to be thinking.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Mendel Kessen. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You can leave your comments on our webpage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, where the show is podcasted.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.